Blog Talk Radio.
Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good to be here. Thank God that we're have new mercies. As of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, as saith the prophet Jeremiah. So it's good to be here. We thank God. Just another day. As the psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We'd like to thank you for listening in on this Blog Talk Radio Truth Ministry. So it's just good to be able to say what thus saith the Lord. So we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body, and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So this is to the church at Ephesus. But unto every one of you is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So that's in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, 4, 5, 6, and verse 7. So just thank God that we're able to get into his word one more time. So, and today we are coming out of the book of Philippians, the church, excuse me, at Philippi. So it's good to be able to look in the word. So just thank God for all of our Blog Talk listeners, all of our Twitter followers and listeners, and also all of our Facebook friends and listeners. Thank God for you, so that we're able to get into the Word of God and continue on this subject that we have been on for weeks and weeks and weeks. That is the Godhead. So it's about Jesus. It's not about us. So important about him, and that you have it right, because no one wants to be lost, but the truth is in Jesus. So that's what it's all about. It's not about nobody else. People are getting into other personalities and exalting themselves and making themselves so important, but it's want to make sure that you have it right, that you got one time to get it right, because the Bible says, is appointed unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. That's Hebrews 9 and 27. So that's so important. So we're going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That is, if you've been born again in 2 Corinthians, he talks about that. But and Peter says the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it begin on us. What shall the end of those be that obey not the gospel? And he goes on to say, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? So what he's saying is the righteous are going to have difficulty. So we can seek God, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have life. They are they which testify of me. St. John 5:39. Those are the words of Jesus. So today we are getting into the book of Philippians. And so we're still talking about our subject that, like I said, previously stated, our subject, the Godhead, we have been talking about. And so we're going to continue on in that. So we are endeavoring by the Word of God to show you the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the importance of the office of the sonship. And we have got in various scriptures to let you know that he is the Son of Man, and judgment is given into his hands. And so not even just even in the important gospel like St. John, but also in the book of Matthew, he was the king. He wrote unto the Jews in the book of Matthew. So that's so very important to listen at statements he made. And nobody can make a statement like that but the Lord himself. And so many don't understand who he is and who he was during his earthly ministry. But I tell you what, the Jews understood. That's why they didn't accept him. The nation, Israel, didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, because they knew that if they'd done that, he was the Messiah. That's why he says, you being a man, making yourself equal with God, because they listened to what he said. They knew what the word said. They didn't want to, so they did not accept him. The whole, as a nation, they didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. But they are going to, they're going to look upon me whom they have pierced. Zechariah 12:10, the latter clause, the spirit of supplications, and they're going to look upon me, the Lord says, whom they have pierced. So they're going to realize that they rejected the Messiah, because there's not another. So Messiah has come for the first time. The second time he's going to appear without sin unto salvation. He's going to catch the church, which is the bride of Christ, which is the body. He is the head of the church, which is his body. So he's going to catch the church away. That's the appearing. The second coming is when he comes back and stands foot on the Mount of Olives. He's coming back to fight, and he's going to, like, that's why the writer in Jude says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, coming to execute judgment, coming to fight. So want to know what he's going to fight about? So much ungodliness and so much going on, and people are serving mammon, which is money, more than God. So we're still continuing in the subject of Godhead, and it can be found in Colossians 2:9, Romans 1:20, and Acts 17:29. Those are the only three places in the scriptures where the term the Godhead is found. So today we want to go to the book of Philippians. It's actually in the book of Philippians is a continuation when the Lord said in the book of Isaiah that every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So that's the whole point that we've been trying to show out of the scriptures, that there is only one in the Godhead. So we're going to be going to the book of Philippians, the church of Philippi, in a little bit. But it was so much, and so many times the prophet Isaiah, the Lord spoke through him about his deity. And that's what's so important about the name. You read the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. So important the way that he used Isaiah to talk about his name, to talk about his that he was the self-existing one. In Isaiah 43 and 11, I am the Lord. Beside me, there is no Savior. And he goes on, I have declared and have saved, have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. That's verse 12. Verse 13, Isaiah 43, yea, before the day was, I am he. Remember, Jesus says, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. So they did not accept him as the Messiah. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work who will let it. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all the nobles and the Chaldees whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So the God of Israel is the God of the church. Okay, so we can go on over to Isaiah, the next chapter, 44th chapter, read a couple of scriptures. Isaiah 44 and 6, the latter clause. I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no God. The 8th verse, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it, ye are even my witnesses. And then he goes on to say, is there a God beside me? It's a question. Yea, there is no God. I know not any. So he answered his own question there in that scripture. So, and then here's what I want to get to. We'll go right hand in hand with the lesson on today. And so, let's see, I just want to, there's so many scriptures in the book of Isaiah. Okay. Look ye unto me. Look unto me, Isaiah 45 and 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. See, that is the whole key right there, that the God of Israel is the God of the church. That's why Deuteronomy 6 and 4, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. But this is the key scripture here that I just read, about every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear, or you're going to confess to God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm going to flip back here to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. And that is, let's see, I'll go up a little farther. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth of milk and honey. And then so, verse 4, Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Remember the statement that Jesus made, two commandments that were great. And that is, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. I believe it's in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Just want to make sure, when I make reference to, so you can be able to get it. Yes, yeah, Matthew 22 and 37. Go up a little farther. One of them was a lawyer. Asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, different ones go a little farther in things that they're saying. So, in other words, if you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, then you're going to do what he says. You're going to keep his commandments. You're going to do, you're not going to treat your neighbor the way that you wouldn't want to be treated, but you're going to love your neighbor and treat your neighbor just like you would want to be treated. So that is the point right there. Okay, also we want to go back in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, because this is just building a little foundation before we get into the lesson on today. So then this will make it more plainer. In the whole lot here in the 7th chapter, he's talking about don't judge so you won't be judged. And then with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So he used different terminology. Because only one gospel, but four gospel writers. So depend on who they were writing to. So we know Matthew primarily wrote to the Jews. And then he's talking about, don't behold a mote. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? He asked the question, how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. So he goes on to say, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, then thou shalt see clearly, and cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So, you know, a beam goes across. So if you're blind, you can't help somebody else out, is what he's saying. Get your own self right. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet, turn again and rend you. So you don't let that good word fall to the ground. Somebody don't want to hear it, you don't have to tell them. You got to hear, should have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that's what you read in the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation. That's what he was saying. That was the key words. Let him that hath ears hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. So you want to have an open heart. You want to be able to hear. You want to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So too many times in life, you know, when you're talking to people, you can tell they're not really listening to you. They can, as it were, have their hands over their ears because they're really not listening to you. So you got to have an open heart. And we all, until the day, as long as we're living, we should be teachable because no one knows everything. So it goes on here. This is important. He said, ask and it shall be given. Seeking you shall find. Knocking it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Him that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Or what man is there whom, if he ask bread, will you give him a stone? He asked a question. Or if he ask a fish, will you give him a serpent? And so he goes and says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, should do to you, do ye do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So that's what we were saying earlier. If you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to have any problem. So here is what I wanted to get to right here. So verse 13, Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now this is Jesus still talking. Wide is the gate. So he's talking about the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few be there that find it. So notice what he's saying here as we go on. So he's talking about you want to make sure you enter in at the straight gate. And you want to be in the straight and the narrow, because that's what's going to lead unto life. Few be there that find it. So he's talking about few in comparison to the other gate that he's talking about. He said, if you don't enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So a lot of people are going in the broad way. A lot of people are going in the wide gate. So he says you need to enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and there few be there that find it. So he goes on the next verse, beware of false prophets, will come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. And he goes on, you got to understand can't think of the word that I want. But anyway, where these people were farmers, so that's why Jesus spake like he did to them, because of where they were. And they understood the language. So he goes on to say, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So that's the question. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So they understood because of where they were. They understood the language. So here's what I wanted to get to right here. This is going to go in. This is going to correlate right in with the lesson. So he goes on here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The next verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. He didn't say to us, the two of us. He said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? This is the question they're going to say. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. That word doctrine means teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So one of the other writers wrote the same thing, and he said, and without a foundation. So So you build a house, you build your house on the sand. That's the same thing. You don't have a foundation. So you got to have a solid foundation when you build your house. So in other words, you're going to hear those sayings of his. You're going to take them in heart, is what he's saying. So that leads us right up to our lesson on today in the book of Philippians. So notice what we've already been talking about in the book of Isaiah. Everybody's going to bow. Everybody's going to confess to the Lord. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue shall swear, or every tongue is going to confess. So it's only one God. So you can search it out for yourself. After you read the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. You know the name Jehovah means Jesus is become our salvation. So you never see that name anymore in the Holy Scriptures after you leave that book. So important it is. So we're going to go on today in the book of Philippians, where we want to bring our lesson out of. So, and realize that we're still talking about the Godhead. So here, this is one of Apostle Paul's prison epistles, we would call them Pauline epistles, a prison epistle. So he goes on. We can start off in the first chapter because we're still going to make it very plain what we're talking about. So Paul and Timotheus, who is Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you. Peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So notice right here what he's saying. Peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a continuation, because the office of sonship is what the Lord is still working through. And he's not going to, that office of sonship is not going to be done away with until Israel is going to look upon him whom they have pierced. They're going to realize that they killed the Messiah. They're going to wail and weep when they see what they have done. They rejected him. He already came. So there, even today, they go to that weeping wall and wail. Ain't no sense in doing that because he already came. They just did not accept him as a nation. So he goes on here, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. This is Paul writing now. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled all the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? That's the question. Notwithstanding, everywhere, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Now, this is his testimony. He's still writing here. He wrote this church, this letter to the church, or this epistle, which is a letter to the church of Philippi. So he says, In nothing I shall be ashamed. So in other words, I'm not going to be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ Jesus shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So this is what he's saying, because this man was a very learned man. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a very learned man. He knew the law, and he knew who Jesus was. He realized that when he asked that question, who art thou, Jehovah, in Acts 9 and 5, Jehovah said, I am Jesus, the original text. Who art thou, Jehovah? Because he knew he was persecuting the Lord. He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. A prick, what they use to drive cattle. And you kick against them, you're going to hurt your own self, because it's a very sharp object. So he goes on here, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So in other words, I need to be living. I need to be here to teach you, or it would actually be better if I could go to sleep in Christ or die in Christ. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith. That's what he told Timothy when he wrote a letter of death, if you will. But that's fast forwarding. So anyway, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is the dim and even evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. So he goes on here, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That particular scripture right there, you're not suffering. He didn't say you're suffering for my name's sake in other scriptures, but he says it's given to you not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. So this is what individuals don't understand, and that's why Peter wrote in his letters, as much then as Christ has suffered in the flesh, he says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased for sin. So you're going to reproach for the name of Christ. Happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And he goes on, let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. So in other words, you're going to suffer. Now, Apostle Peter definitely knew that you're going to suffer some things. So what we're suffering nowadays, they actually literally got tortured and many things that happened, especially the original 12. And there were many disciples, even during Jesus' earthly ministry. And there were only 12 apostles. We know that Judas hanged himself. They chose Matthias. When they cast lots, the lot fell on Matthias. You don't really read much more about him. But the Apostle Paul was the last one to see the Lord. That was one of the signs of an apostle, that you had to be see the Lord. You had to be an eyewitness. So their job was be eyewitness. They were sent forth. They were eyewitnesses. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died a horrible death. So that's why when you the scriptures will not fight against one another, but scripture will support scripture. That's why you have to rightly divide the word of truth. So scripture will support scripture. So that's why Apostle Paul said, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. You could find that in Romans, the 11th chapter. So an apostle, to be an apostle, that was an appointed office that only the Lord Jesus Christ could appoint you to that office. So there's no such thing as an apostle nowadays. All the apostles are dead. So people are trying to do violence to the scriptures. That's a biblical term in calling an apostle a gift. And it's not a gift. It's an office. It was an office to be an apostle. So we go on here. Let's see. So, yeah. So anyway, so we the Philippians 1 and 29, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. So people wonder why the devil will stand up to you and fight you and things that you go through. You're going to go through when you, that's why it's so important to be taught. I've been in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Bible classes over the years. So, because you're not going to, you got to be taught. That's why the ministry is in the church, to teach. So you got to learn, then you'll be able to teach others. That's what Apostle Paul said, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, when he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel. He says, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So that's why you got to rightly divide the book. And so nobody can do nothing with that. People are getting in there and just saying what they want, doing violence to the scripture. So he goes on, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on, not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that's God. That's why Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinthians. He said, at Corinth, every man has his proper gift, the one after this sort and the one after that. So everybody is unique because that's the way God does. He gifts people, and every man has received a gift. Peter said, even so minister with the ability that God giveth, that God may be glorified in all. So that's the most important thing. So we're not preaching ourselves, but we preach the Lord Jesus. So I've just seen so many ridiculous things even here lately. I mean, somebody wrote on Facebook how to approach a prophet. I mean, how ridiculous. I mean, no, what you need to be doing is realize and want to know how to approach God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Like Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Or like the writer in Hebrews says, let us, seeing that we have a great high priest is passed into the heavens, talking about how he could be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we. So in other words, he said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So you can come to him. He that cometh to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. So he's not going to beat you down. You can, if you mess up, you can get it right. So he goes on to say, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. It was a throne of judgment. Now it's a throne of grace. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. So we can come with confidence that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's very important. So he's not beating you down. So that's why he came into the, that's why he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Then he put himself in there, of whom I am chief. So he talked about many things that he'd done before his conversion. And he said, I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. So the point being, now you got to have the mind, what we're talking about today. You got the mind of Christ. You got the mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You got victory. He gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've been born again. And we know that's when they were born again, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the first message. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He goes on to say, the promise is unto you, Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That was us. We were we who were far off when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. We're made nigh. Well, the word nigh means near. We're made near by the blood of Christ. He broke down that middle wall of partition. So making, it was two, making one, so making peace. When he broke that wall down, so we can come to God. We have access to God, just like initially the Jews did, or the house of Israel. Remember when he said he didn't come, he just came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was his initial call. That's why Apostle Paul, when he wrote, he didn't start that church in Rome. So when he heard about their faith, he said, I'm coming, I want to impart unto you some spiritual gift. He heard of their faith. And so that's why he went on to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That ETH, you got to keep on believing, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, he got that out of the book of Habakkuk when it said, the just shall live by his faith. But he wrote, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So you know that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in the scriptures, you got to pay very close attention to repetition. So that's, it keeps on coming. You got to keep on hearing, and faith keep coming. So you walk, we walk by faith, not by sight. So a lot of things don't make sense, but that's the way God operates. So we can't, we have hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. In the 8th chapter of Romans, he said, what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? Yet hope for. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we go on here. Look not at every man on his own things, I read previously, but every man on the things of others. So you can't go wrong. Just like somebody said, don't worry. You praying for other people, somebody will pray for you, because that's the way God works. So this is not to be truly a Christian. And we know that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So that's why Peter said, if any man be a Christian, talking about things that he should do. So in other words, you're not going to be a selfish person, me, myself, and I, if you are a Christian, but you're going to be concerned about others when you are a Christian. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you read in the Gospels, you know about Jesus. he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. That's why Peter, they saw all of the marvelous, miraculous things that the Lord had done. They're on the ship with him. They've been with him. The times they spent with him, he telling them he's going to be rejected of the chief priests, and he's going to be put to death, and he's going to rise again the third day. He's going to be killed. He let them know. And Peter said, it's not going to be. He said, get behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things that be of men and not those things that be of God. So he was talking to that spirit that was speaking through Peter. You not know, he had to die. So, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Listen to this statement. Made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. We're talking about Jesus here. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And here's the part we want to get to, because we were talking about this in the book of Isaiah. The same Lord that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he goes on, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have heard, always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He's giving them something here very important. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he goes on here, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So it's so important what we're talking about, the name, at the name of Jesus. So, and he has, his name is above every name, and his word is above all thy name. The psalmist says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. But his name is above every name. So you follow, go back in the Old Testament, God wanted a house that his name would be there. That was what the temple and the prayer that Solomon prayed. He wanted a place. You pray toward this place, your name will be there. So it's so important to the Jews. Remember, Jesus was saying, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. And they knew that temple, that where he was, they thought what he was talking about. It took 46 years to build that. But he spake of the temple, his body. So that's why it's so important. That's the children's bread, these letters that we're talking about. After you have been born again, the letters are to born again believers. What I mean by that, repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus, be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. That is the new birth, what Jesus was saying. Except a man be born again, he can't see it. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, you must be born again. That's in St. John, the 3rd chapter. The wind bloweth where it will, where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven. When a baby, so God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Daddy, Abba, Father. So when a baby is born, they cry. That is the sign you have been born again. So Joel, in the book of Joel 2:28, shall come to pass, saith God, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He is talking about the Holy Ghost being poured out. So it's so important. You got to be born again. Not repeat after me. One of the most misrepresented scriptures in the Bible is Matthew 28 and 19, when he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Notice what he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, repeat after me. The name of the Father is Jesus. He said, I come in my Father's name. Name of the Son, you know his name is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, St. John 14:26, whom the Father will send in my name, he said, I'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have commanded you. So the name of Jesus, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is why the apostles were persecuted for the name of Jesus. And the blood is in the name. Your sins are not going to be washed away repeating the titles. And incidentally, that Constantine had that so-called vision, 320-something A.D., that so-called vision and so-called Trinity and all that, which is a lie out of hell. That's the whole point, reason why we're letting you know about the Godhead. There's only one in the Godhead. Like I said, it's only found the three times in the scriptures. So that is so-called Catholic baptism, which is not the correct way to be baptized, because the blood that washes away your sins is in the name of Jesus. This is why the scripture says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood in the book of Hebrews, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So that's why he says you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And the devil himself knows that the blood of Jesus is in the name of Jesus. What makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus. So that's why he was talking about in the days of Noah, few men, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. It's in the book of Peter. He says, the like figure doth also now save us. What? Water. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's going into heaven, angels and authority being made subject unto him. So it is essential. There are those that have departed from the faith, given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They have left the faith. That's why Apostle Paul said before he went to Nero's chopping block, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. You got to keep the faith, because there will not be another. That's why it's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. You got to keep the faith, because there will not be another. So he's only, like the Bible says, if we sin willfully, after we have knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. What is he saying? Jesus is not going to go and die again. He's already done that. He's not going to die again. So the central theme of the scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ. So not me, but the Lord Jesus Christ. So God doesn't, like I said before, he doesn't have to have me. He's never left himself without witness. He'll raise up somebody else. So somebody got to not be ashamed and be taught, be sent forth, and say what the Lord says. Because we're not preaching ourselves, but we're preaching the Lord Jesus. We're going to continue on this subject. We kind of started off a few minutes late, but we thank God for your listening. And we will be back on the next time, God willing, and continue on this subject. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.